Andy Bulbarch and Steve Bailey with you on Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Got about another 45 minutes or so left on today's show, and then we get things going for a weekend full of football and basketball action. And here to help us break all of that down from a handicapping perspective, our next guest, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, a pleasure to have you on, as always, my friend. And well, it seems like in the fall, there's never a shortage of topics for us to discuss. So we'll attack some basketball and some football. Let's begin with some college basketball. And I guess my first question has to do with a game that went down a couple of days ago. But how can we properly weigh the gigantic upset of Evansville taking down Kentucky a few days back from a handicapping perspective?
Yeah, I think from a handicapping perspective, you're probably going to find some value on Kentucky now. And look, this is a young team. And as we know, a lot of these blue blood programs, they have to reload every single year. And you know, Kentucky's a program that gets the pick of the litter when it comes to recruits. In that game against Evansville, they just didn't shoot the ball well. They were 20 for 54 from the field, 3 for 18 in the mid-range for two-pointers, 4 for 17 from three. It was just a bad shooting night that happened at a really bad time for them. And it's not something I would worry about going forward. It just shows that as a young team with a lot of freshmen playing big minutes with a sophomore point guard, they just have to come together and gel a little bit. And sometimes it takes some time to do that, and that's probably just the case here with Calipari's team. We'll see what happens with them because they come up here this weekend. They play Utah Valley on Monday. They should beat them handily. Mount St. Mary's. They don't play another really good game until they play Ohio State December 21st. So they got plenty of time to figure this thing out.
Yeah, that's just about a month away, so it'll be interesting to see how they fare against Ohio State, who, of course, took down Villanova just a couple of nights ago. Well, another game that you previewed coming up this weekend, it's Gonzaga taking on Texas A&M. That game actually goes down tonight. You like the under in this game. Why is that?
I do like the under a little bit. I also like Gonzaga a little bit here. First road game for Gonzaga of the season, not a big surprise. They've played three games, or all three of them at home. But Texas A&M is, you know, a team that probably going to slow the pace down a little bit this year. They hired Buzz Williams from Virginia Tech. He started to adopt some elements of the Virginia pack line defense, which basically really slows the game down, kind of extends the defense out, forces you to make a lot of jump shots over them. I think for Gonzaga here, in a unique situation going down to College Station, a building they're unfamiliar with, I could see them struggling a little bit on the offensive end. And also, too, I mean, this is a Gonzaga team that, you know, again, while they're one of those blue bloods that does reload as opposed to rebuild, they've lost a lot of NBA caliber talent over the last two or three years. They're very, very talented again this year, but they're pretty raw. So taking on a Texas A&M pack line defense that they're not accustomed to seeing in a venue they're not really used to playing in, I think it lends itself pretty well to the under. That being said, with Texas A&M making a lot of changes, not having a whole lot of scoring options of their own, I do think Gonzaga wins the game and wins it comfortably, but it could be a pretty ugly game.
Well, we'll transition from college hoops to college football here, because last week we had the opportunity to talk about some really awesome matchups. I mean, I guess this week's slate, not nearly as interesting, but there are some decent ones, and there's some with some intrigue for sure. Can you explain the public sharp split on this Iowa-Minnesota matchup? Seems like a lot of people are rowing the boat and getting behind P.J. Fleck and company.
Yeah, this is really, really interesting because you've got an undefeated Minnesota team coming off of its biggest win in at least 50 years. They're knocking off Penn State. But it was the first real opponent that they had played this season that could actually give them a game, and Penn State did, and Penn State even had a chance to win that one late. I imagine a lot of people were surprised to see Iowa a three-point favorite here in this game. But you know what? I mean, that's the way the oddsmakers are very good at what they do, and this line hasn't moved. And the fact that it hasn't moved suggests to me that they're either getting some sharp money on Iowa or they're waiting for sharp money on Iowa, because the public very heavily backing Minnesota here in this game, and the line still hasn't moved. And when that happens, you get a pretty good idea that there's either money coming in the other way or that the expectation is that it's coming. So that's the public sharp split on this game. And I think, again, based on the line, based on Iowa being the sharper side here, it would not surprise me. It may surprise some people, but it wouldn't surprise me if Minnesota goes down this weekend.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll stick with some more college football action here. You anticipate any more movement in this Georgia-Auburn matchup on Saturday, or do you think this is cemented with the Bulldogs going in as a three-point favorite?
I think this one's probably going to stay about where it is. I mean, anytime you can stay on three as one of the risk managers out there at the sports books, you try to do it. You don't want to go to 3.5, open up the chance of some Auburn underdog money. You don't want to go back to 2.5 because you were already there earlier in the week, so you found out what was going to happen at that price. So I think Georgia being a field goal favorite here is probably where this number is going to close. And I think this is a really interesting game because you've got a more proven Georgia quarterback in Jake Fromm. You've got a less proven Bo Nix, who has played much better at home than he has on the road for Auburn. Auburn's got a very, very good defense. Georgia over on the east side, Florida's a pretty decent team, but other than that, most of the good teams in the SEC are coming from the West Division. So this is a step up in class here for Georgia, but I think there are enough worries about the Auburn freshman quarterback to keep people from going too crazy on this game. I think it's an interesting game. It's got some college football playoff implications. I don't have an opinion on it myself. My line on the game is right at -3, but I guess probably where we're going to stay here because I just don't see an avalanche of money coming in on either side.
Let's go back to the Big Ten for just a moment here. Only because when you see Michigan, Michigan State, you know, normally you see a line that's not necessarily going to be double digits, but Michigan State's been complete garbage this season. They've lost 4 in a row. Michigan looks like they finally turned that corner. They're getting a little bit better. Somebody earlier today told me, you know, in a big game for once, Jim Harbaugh isn't the one feeling the most amount of heat in this one. Boy, correct me if I'm wrong. I think this thing opened up at like 14.5, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, and it's kind of funny, too, because you look at the recent history between these two teams, and I think Michigan's 9-1 or 10-1, or Michigan State, 9-1 or 10-1 against the spread, something like that here in this rivalry. I'll tell you what, though, as much as it pains me to say this, and I'll have to go take a scalding hot shower after we finish up here, I actually like Michigan in this game. My line's 18.5 here, so I have it much bigger than the market line at 13.5. Michigan State, I think that the Big Ten has passed Mark D'Antonio by. I don't think his style works anymore going up against Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, teams like that, Wisconsin even to a degree. They've kind of advanced a little bit more here. I think Michigan dominates this game. I think they get a chance to finally kick around little brother when he's down and hurting. It's all about Michigan for me here this week. As you said, it is strange to see a line of this magnitude, and it's even stranger to like Michigan in this type of favorite role, but I just don't see Michigan State having the offense. I think their defense is a little bit overrated. And I think Harbaugh, you know, because he can't beat Ohio State, he's got to go out there and beat somebody. And this week, I think it'll probably be Sparty.
Yeah, and the home team has had a bit of an advantage, at least this decade in this rivalry as well. But you look at this game on paper, unless D'Antoni is able to get these guys really fired up for this game, I just don't see how in the world they're going to pull this one off or even cover at 14.5. That's just not something I could see based on the way Sparty's played recently. All right, let's get into the NFL slate. Bears-Rams on Sunday Night Football. Why has there been so much attention paid to the total in this one? Why is it that people seem to like the under?
Yeah, there's been a lot of money on the under for this game here. And, I mean, it makes sense. You've got a Mitchell Trubisky quarterback who just hasn't done much of anything this year for Chicago. The defense is still okay. I think the defense could be playing better. But the Rams are almost a defense-first team at this point in time because they're just not getting much out of Jared Goff. The shine seems to have come off of Sean McVay a little bit. They can't run the football with, you know, Todd Gurley. And for whatever reason, they don't use the other guys that they have. It's been kind of a mess to watch both of these teams here so far this season. So, you know, you start looking for a low-scoring game. You've got two pretty limited quarterbacks here. Two offenses aren't doing a whole lot. Two defenses that have definitely played better than their respective offenses. So this one's come down a little bit. The side has come down, too, from Chicago. +7, +7.5 to +6.5. There are some +6s out there as well. Anytime you get the expectation of a lower-scoring game, the line's going to come down a little bit if you've got a touchdown or so favorite. So that's the case here. But again, I mean, I think we're probably going to get back to what we've seen far too often here this season in the primetime games, something ugly and just not appealing to look at.
Well, let's hit on one more NFL game, my friend, before we let you go. We'll touch on the Texans and Ravens. You mentioned that you think the line could climb to 4 or 5 points before kickoff. Why is that?
I think so. I think that Baltimore probably winds up being the preferred sharp side here. We have seen this one come down from 4.5 to 4 with Baltimore a home favorite. I get the feeling that because there are so many people out there that don't really respect Bill O'Brien and have great respect for John Harbaugh, that may be the tipping point here in this game. You obviously have to worry about Houston defending Lamar Jackson, the option, the running game without J.J. Watt. And look, I mean, yeah, Deshaun Watson can move the football for Houston. There's no question about that. But Baltimore's secondary has gotten better as the season has gone along here. I think we're just kind of waiting to see some money come in on the Baltimore side. Hasn't happened as of yet, but I'd be very surprised if this line keeps going down.
Good stuff. Well, again, seems like in the fall we always have something to talk about. We covered a pretty wide spectrum today, from college hoops to NFL football. Should be a lot of fun to catch all that action this weekend. Adam, as always, we appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Adam. You do the same. Again, that's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Tell you what, that's such an awesome resource to use, not only from the handicapping perspective, but it's just loaded to the gills with great information. I mean, if you're just looking for information on games themselves, make sure you check out all of Adam's work and the entire gang over at bangthebook.com. All right, let's step aside for a break. Steve Bailey and I will come back with more after this. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930.